Those in charge of the Warunga Sanitarium, Elmshaven, St. Helena, California. July 29, 1903. To those in charge of the Warunga Sanitarium, my dear brethren, I cannot sleep past 1 o'clock. In the night seasons, I have been in a council meeting in which those present were outlining plans for the carrying forward of the work of the Warunga Sanitarium. One plan was that Brother Burden was to be general manager of the outside interests. Suggestions were made in regard to putting in an electric light plant. The words were spoken by one of authority. An electric light plant should not be looked upon as necessary to the success of the institution, for it is not. To put an electric light plant into the institution would place on it a burden of debt that should not exist. That which will bring efficiency to your work is walking in the light of the Lord's favor. Elder Starr and his wife are to take up the work of visiting evangelists. They are to seek to reach souls in the city of Sydney and its suburbs. They will find many souls whom they can help and sustain and bless. These faithful workers should be sustained by the conference as they seek to save souls outside the institution. Brother and Sister Cress occupy an important position in the institution. They are not to be under the jurisdiction or control of any human power. God has given them the ability to manage their own work. They have in a special manner felt His power to heal. When it seemed that Dr. Cress's life could not possibly be saved, God showed Himself strong to save and snatched him from the grave. And this same God will now be a counselor to Brother and Sister Cress and will lead and guide them, teaching them His way and His will. Dr. Cress and his wife are to unite with the matron in managing the work inside the building in spiritual, health-giving lines. These workers are to counsel together and are to help one another, carrying the work forward in the wisdom that comes from God. The physicians in a sanitarium should stand as medical missionaries, ministering to sin-sick souls as well as to diseased bodies. This work the Lord has laid upon them. The words were spoken to Brother Burden. You have an important responsibility to bear as director and counselor to those who manage the farm. You are to see that the outside interests are kept in good order. With the care of the outside interests of the institution, you will have all the work that your physical and mental ability will permit you to carry. The responsibility of the inside work of the institution is to be borne by others. When such a physician as Dr. Caro was in charge of the sanitarium, someone with wisdom that he did not possess was needed to take charge of the inside and outside interests of the institution. But this is not now essential. The matron and physicians labor under the supervision of the great medical missionary, and the plans needed in order for the work of the institution to be carried forward in accordance with God's purpose are necessarily very different from the plans that were needed in the Summer Hill Sanitarium. He who has charge of the outside interests will not now be obliged to manage the inside interests, for there are those to take charge of the inside interests who understand the work. And let all the workers remember that they are to labor unitedly, under the direction of the great teacher. One man is not to be given charge of the inside and outside interests of the sanitarium. The inside work of the institution will be in a far more healthful condition if depending on those who have time to give it the attention it requires than if depending on one who, having charge of the outside business, has all that he can manage. The Lord has given Dr. Cress and his wife the inside management of the institution. They are to work under the Lord Jesus Christ and are not to look to any human power to lead them. The Lord is their director. And Brother Burden, too, is to carry forward his line of work under the direction of God. All are to look to the Lord for physical, mental, and spiritual efficiency, trusting in Him to guide and sustain them. They are to counsel together and draw in even cords. God will help them to carry the responsibilities that He has placed upon them. The doctor and his wife are to work together as physicians of the soul and of the body. God will help them by his power if they will look to him and trust in him. But they must be under no man's supervision or authority. The Lord will bless them and uphold them as they put their trust in him alone.
The Lord will guide and direct Brother Burden. But Brother Burden has some things yet to learn in regard to health reform. Brother and Sister Burden are beloved of the Lord, but they have need of clearer ideas as to what preparations of food will bring health of body and health of soul. They have, in some respects, a wrong conception of the matter. Let them get rid of this misconception as soon as possible, for it hinders physical and spiritual health. The Lord desires them to hold clearer ideas of what is comprehended by health reform. We are living amidst the perils of the last days, and we are to cleanse ourselves from all defilement and put on the robe of Christ's righteousness. Self must die daily. The work of God, in its purity and elevation, must be carried forward. We must bring ourselves, body, soul, and spirit, into subjection to Christ. Unless we do this, the health of the body will fail, and the health of the soul will be endangered. God desires his workers to gain daily a better understanding of how to reason logically from cause to effect, arriving at wise, safe conclusions. He desires them to add to their strength of memory. We cannot afford to make mistakes that are the result of our cherishing erroneous ideas. As little children, we are to sit at the feet of Christ, learning of him how to work successfully. We are to ask God for a sound judgment and for light to impart to others. There is need of knowledge that is the fruit of experience. We should not allow a day to pass without gaining an increase of knowledge in temporal and spiritual things. We are to plant no stakes that we are not willing to take up and plant farther on, nearer the heights we hope to ascend. The highest education is to be found in training the mind to advance day by day. The close of each day should find us a day's march nearer the overcomer's reward. Day by day, our understanding is to ripen. Day by day, we are to work out conclusions that will bring a rich reward in this life and in the life to come. Looking daily to Jesus, instead of to what we ourselves have done, we shall make decided advancement in temporal as well as spiritual knowledge. The end of all our work is at hand. What we have done must not be allowed to place the period to our work. The captain of our salvation says, "Advance." The night cometh in which no man can work. Constantly, we are to multiply our talents. Our work is to do the will of Christ. Our lives are always to be under his converting power. Our lamps are never to be destitute of oil, but are ever to be replenished with the oil of the Holy Spirit. Prayer is a heaven-ordained means of usefulness. Appeals, petitions, entreaties between man and man move men and act a part in controlling the affairs of nations. But prayer moves heaven. That power alone that comes in answer to prayer will make men wise in the wisdom of heaven and will enable them to work in the unity of the Spirit, united by the bonds of peace. Prayer, faith, confidence in God bring a divine power that sets human calculations at their real worth. Nothingness.